You're locked on Flames Talk, talking everything Calgary Flames with Pat Steinberg and Maddie Rose, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Flames Talk on this Wednesday, June 22nd. Pat Steinberg along with you from our Sportsnet 960 downtown studios. Flames Talk is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love it if you went and hit subscribe. Hour 2 is also the Sports Drive, brought to you by South Trail Hyundai. The demand for quality pre-owned vehicles has never been higher. South Trail Hyundai is here to help. South Trail Hyundai, just east of 52nd on 130th Ave Southeast and online at southtrailhyundai.com. And we're kicking off hour number 2 by saying hello to our good buddy and our Wednesday regular from NHL Network and NHL Network Radio. The one, the only, Jonathan Davis joins us on Flames Talk. Hello, JD. How are we doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, Pat. You know, just recovering after 3 days in Vegas.
How was the outdoor sports book and such?
Pat, I just sent you a couple of pictures.
I'm looking right now. You jerk!
It's unbelievable. If you haven't had an opportunity to go down to the Circa Hotel in Vegas, and especially the stadium swim, there's nothing like it. Like, I had a chance to sit with the owner and talk to him, where did you come up with the concept? And he just said to me, I was tired of going to sports, like to go to a pool and try to watch the game that I wanted to watch and on a little TV, hoping it was the game that I could watch. So decided that this was the way to go. And I mean, it's like being at a nightclub and a sports book, because there's music going all day and into the night. Starts at 8 a.m., closes at 11 p.m. It's unreal. It's unreal. I've never experienced anything like it.
Sounds awful. I can't.
It's awful.
Why would you ever want to do that? It sounds not up my alley at all. I don't have any interest in that.
No. And even if you don't like to gamble, you don't need to. You can just literally relax the pool all day and watch games, and, you know, it's hot, so you just jump into the pool, and you're watching the games. Like, I think I sent you a picture. I had the Jays game on, and the Dodgers game on, and there were, 8 or 9 games going on. I mean, unbelievable.
Good on you. You deserve it, my friend. Well, let's start, first of all, with the one series remaining on the ice. How you feeling about this Stanley Cup Finals with the Avalanche now trailing 2-1? I thought Frank Saravelli, who joined us in Hour 1, made an interesting point where he said it kind of feels like the Avs have got to win this one, knowing kind of how some of their last series losses have gone. They had a 2-0 lead, they look dominant, and then they get blown out in Game 3. What have your observations been?
I don't know if they got blown out. I mean, I didn't think they played terrible. I kind of felt in that second period, there was a comeback in them. And then, you know, Vasilevsky was Vasilevsky again. And JT Compher has got to be having nightmares. I mean, you know, the toe save, which was like a groin pull for the average human being, I think that really turned it around. It could have been, it would have been 5-3. And, you know, then you're feeling a little bit of footsteps. But what we've seen in this series is a kind of what I think our concern was. You know, we knew who had the better goalie. And, you know, Darcy Kuemper wasn't great in Game 3. And I thought it was interesting that Jared Bednar didn't come out at any point and say that Darcy Kuemper was going to be his goalie in Game 4. Now, I don't know if that's gamesmanship or if he was really considering making a change. I don't know. But I still think at the end of the day, I think we're going to see Colorado's best game. And what I was really impressed with after, you know, on the off day, Pat, was who's out on the ice all by himself working on his shot. It's the guy who hasn't scored a goal for the Avalanche in this series, Nathan MacKinnon. If that doesn't tell you all you need to know about MacKinnon, I don't know what does. I think we're going to see Nathan's best game tonight.
And there's some thought that Nazem Kadri might be back for Game 4 as well. If that ends up being the case, yeah. How much of a boost does that give Colorado?
Well, I mean, I think it gives them a boost, but then, you know, the question just remains is, how many faceoffs can he take?
Right.
You know, can he take faceoffs? So, you know, that's the big thing. Now, you know, faceoffs may not be the most important part. It's more, you know, someone else can take the faceoffs and and Kadri can assume the defensive role that the center is, you know, assumes outside of winning or losing a draw. So I think that's where, you know, where Kadri, you know, can have his, can have a significant impact. Look, if he's ready to go, then, you know, Jared Bednar is not messing around and, you know, he's not, you know, this is not like something, hey, we got to get Nas in. He's got to be at least at 80% because, look, I think 80% of Kadri is still, and, you know, sorry, you know, Obe Kubel. I think it's better than what Obe Kubel can do at 100%. So, it remains to be seen, but I think it definitely, if he's good enough to go, then this is, yeah, this should be a plus for the Avalanche.
Any, whether it be the actual awards themselves or like the show, or whether it be the award winners, any big takeaways from Tuesday's NHL awards?
Well, didn't Keenan Thompson steal the show with the Matthews line? I mean, that
was pretty good.
That's the best part of the night. You know, look, I don't get hung up, you know, in awards. Like, you know, I was on in Edmonton earlier today and they were, you know, they were all, you know, like,
Whoa, hold on a second. Were they a little upset about some things? I've never heard that before in that market, ever.
Right. Never. But I said to them, I said, guys, the guy scored, you know, Austin Matthews scored 60 goals. Like, done. You know, I think that's the deciding factor. It's not a matter of, you know, people are tired of voting for McDavid or trying to find a reason not to vote. It's hard not to vote the guy who scored 60 and finished with over 100 points this year. I mean, look, I could make the argument, Pat, that Johnny Gaudreau was as much of an important factor to the Calgary Flames as Austin Matthews was to the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, I took a look at the numbers. You take a look at the percentage of points that Gaudreau had compared to Matthews. I think they were about even, about, you know, on the goals that they were involved in. I also took a look at the team's records when they didn't score, and they were pretty much identical. So, you know, look, there's not one of the three guys that were nominated that you can make an argument against. And that's always my thing. Like, there's not an argument against Austin Matthews.
My favorite
60 goals. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say my favorite was on Tuesday night. I just tweeted out the graphic. I said, "Hey, Johnny Gaudreau, first team All-Star, very, very cool. Whatever." Matthew Tkachuk, Jacob Markstrom, second team All-Stars, and I had the graphic of the first team All-Stars that the NHL sent out. And immediately, yeah, People were all over me, like, "Oh yeah, you're an idiot, Homer. Of course you'd go Gaudreau over McDavid." I'm like, "Okay, first of all, I didn't make these decisions. That's number one. I didn't vote. Number two, Gaudreau's a winger and McDavid's a center. So don't get mad at Johnny. It's they voted Matthews over McDavid." Just the immediate, the unresearched anger, the inaccurate anger is my absolute favorite.
Yeah, well, look, it's, you know, fanatics. That's what fans are. So, but, you know, there's not a lot of thought sometimes. It's just, we'll just make the argument. Doesn't matter what the facts are. And so, yeah, I mean, look, I don't get too hung up on it. Look, the only thing I would ever get, I've gotten hung up on in the past, you know, Pat, is when a guy is excluded, like I still can't understand why Anze Kopitar got a first place vote for the Selke. Like, I'm sorry. Come on. Really? A first place vote?
Yeah, and somebody going Sorokin over Shesterkin as a first place vote in the Vezina.
Yeah.
That's a GM, too. I don't know which one it was, but that one was a little hard to wrap my head around. But yes.
Right. Yeah. Like, those things kind of bother me because I'm like, come on. Like, you've got to be better than that, you know?
Jonathan Davis with us, NHL Network and NHL Network Radio, joins us on Wednesday. Well, on the same day of Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals, the Florida Panthers make some news as they have made their decision. They're moving on from Jack Adams Award runner-up Andrew Burnett. He gets just the one, not even the full season. He leads them to their first playoff victory since 1996. And yet here they are saying goodbye to Andrew Burnett and bringing in Paul Maurice. I don't know if it was a surprise because it kind of felt like it was going in that direction. But when you take a look at the entire situation, How do you read or react to Florida's decision not to bring Brunette back this for next season?
Well, I mean, I think that from the outside looking in, that I think it could have been handled better. I don't think the decision is necessarily wrong. I mean, let's remember, Andrew Brunette got this job as the head coach by because of what happened with Joel Quenneville. I mean, this was not going to be their head coach. Granted, they had a phenomenal regular season. But they're, you know, when you take a look at the most important time of the year and how he handled it, or how they perceived he handled the playoffs, you know, they obviously felt that he's still not ready yet in their minds to be a head coach with this roster, where it's at, you know, in their trajectory. So I get it. Like, you got an opportunity at a guy like Paul Maurice with this roster. Why wouldn't you take it? And really, you know, I think, Pat, it's kind of like in Andrew Brunette's case, I think in some ways you're elevating him before he's ready at the end of the day. And is that really fair to Andrew Brunette? I mean, I understand the anger and the bitterness, if there is any, from his standpoint. If someone took that away from me, I'd be PO'd big time. But I think at the end of the day, they felt when the lights were brightest that, you know, he's still not ready yet. And it's not like he's taking, you know, maybe, you know, an inexperienced roster that they're trying to mold. He's got that's a darn good roster. Mm-hmm. And you only get so many opportunities with it. And let's take a guy who's been more battle tested. And that's the way I look at it. And I think that, you know, Andrew Brunette will get, you know, may land whether it's Chicago, Detroit, wherever he lands, or maybe state, you know, I don't know what happens with Florida, but I just think it's the timing of everything and where this roster is at. I understand it from the Panthers' standpoint.
Elliott has tied Brunette to the Blackhawks and maybe some other teams being interested. I'm curious if he gets some
Elliott,
the guy from ET.
The McAfee show. That's who it is.
Yeah, that's right. The star of the McAfee show, Elliott Friedman. Yeah. He suggested Andrew Brunette maybe in the Chicago Blackhawks. I'm curious how much interest Brunette now gets in some of these other coaching vacancies.
Well, like I said, I mean, look, you take a look at where the Blackhawks are at right now and what they're looking to do. Sure. I mean, that's a coach and a roster that can grow together. So I understand it. He's got ties to that organization. So it does make sense to me more so than the Florida situation. So, I see the fit.
Jonathan Davis, NHL Network Radio and NHL Network, joined us on Wednesday with us here on Hour 2 of Flames Talk. Finally, the Oilers, it just felt like a no-brainer. It was kind of strange that it took maybe as long as it did, but Jay Woodcroft is officially their full-time head coach, and he will start a 3-year contract next season. I don't think that we're overly surprised by that news.
No, not at all. I mean, the turnaround that team had, kudos, you know, good for him. And, you know, I think then the next step is just waiting to hear, when they sign Dave Manson to a new deal as well. But look, this is an organization that is, what is it, 9 coaches or 8 coaches that Nugent Hopkins has had. So let's hope, from the Oilers standpoint that we can see some stability in this organization and they can continue to build where they left off from the playoffs this year. And obviously questions to be answered with the future of Mike Smith and Duncan Keith and the goaltending situation in general and what happens with Evander Kane. There's still a lot to be figured out, but I think that everyone's got to be feeling better about themselves. And I think Gene Principe or Mark Spector had referenced the fact that this was probably the most positive that guys have left from their exit meetings in a number of years.
Okay. And it's funny because as they kind of did the media availability for Woodcroft with Ken Holland on this Wednesday, last question of the availability was to Holland about Evander Kane's future. And the fact that, you know, he may not have his grievance settled with the San Jose Sharks until after free agency begins. And it sounds like I wonder because of that, if it doesn't end up giving Edmonton a little bit of a leg up because they're the team that there's more familiarity with. And, you know, maybe other teams are a little shyer to go down the road with that hanging over them. Whereas the Oilers, I just wonder if that gives the Oilers a little bit of a leg up to keep Kane into next season.
I don't know. I mean, because what happens if they sign him and the arbitrator rules he's still a member of the San Jose Sharks? I don't know. Look, they have the advantage of the fact that he's been there and he knows, you know, he's going to be playing for he'd be playing for the same coach. He's going to be likely playing with Connor McDavid. There's a lot of knowns for him. You know, at the end of the day, you know, if he wherever he goes, you know, look, Pat, I think we've talked about it before. Evander Kane is the problems have been when he gets too comfortable in a situation. At least that's what's been said. Mm-hmm. I don't know firsthand. That's what's been said. But this was definitely a really good fit for Evander and the Edmonton Oilers. But you know, the other thing is that it's going to still come down to what's the price tag going to be. You know, that's the issue because Edmonton's got, you know, they've got to figure a lot of things out. Goaltending is first and foremost for them.
Couple more with you as we dive in on the Pacific Division. Vancouver's very excited about a young man from Russia. If you follow anybody on Twitter in Vancouver, the only thing they've tweeted about for the last 2 weeks is Andrei Kuzmenko. Like, we've heard all about his different exploits, and he went to Joey's in Edmonton, and they took him to better restaurants, apparently, or something in Vancouver. They're like, hey, it doesn't matter. Like, every single bit of his tour of North America was documented by Vancouver Twitter. He does end up choosing the Vancouver Canucks. What do we know about Kuzmenko?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know a lot, but shockingly, you know, that Vancouver Twitter would be just blowing up over this guy. Hey, look, there's so much unknown in Vancouver, you know, going into next season that here's a lot of positivity for them. Because look, regardless of what he can do on the ice and, you know, it's still what's happening with JT Miller and Brock Besser. That's going to be, to me, the most interesting thing for the Canucks, because I think they could be, I still think, Pat, they could be really good next season. And I've said to you that I think that they absolutely challenge for a playoff spot. But I think the Besser and Miller situations are more pressing than Kuzmenko, for sure.
They sure do seem skeptical and pessimistic about JT Miller and a long-term fit in Vancouver in that market. It seems like it is moving more and more to the pessimistic side of him signing a long-term extension.
Well, Jim Rutherford's, I mean, he's come out and, you know, I think he's made it pretty clear that you never want to commit to a guy when you're getting into those mid-30 years and commit a lot of money. And that's, you know, I totally get it. But whenever you're signing a guy at that age to, you know, anything past 5 years, you know, you know that you're not, you know, years 6, 7, 8 are, you know, not going to be likely be very productive. And you're really hoping that you're going to cash in somewhere along the ways in 1, 2, and 3. I just think it's easy. It's easy for me to say and you to say because we're not signing the paychecks and, you know, the Canucks are trying to, you know, relieve themselves of salary cap hell, which, you know, they got into with Jim Benning. So I understand the concerns for Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin and what they're trying to do. But it's a brutal market. I mean, not brutal, they're brutally tough and, I understand, you know, if you're a Canucks fan, you don't want to be taking steps back on your roster. But that's a hard sell to the fan base.
Final thought for you, JD, and that's in San Jose, kind of closer to your neck of the woods. Are we hearing anything? Like, is there any insight on San Jose's GM search right now?
Well, I heard Elliot and Merrick talking about Johan Garpenlöv as a possibility. I mean, they keep talking about wanting to have someone that's, you know, got some sort of ties to the organization, to the community. That seems to be very important. It looks like they're trying to go outside the box. So it seems to be very slow moving, but God, you know, you would look, they've got some time before the draft, not a lot of time, but you definitely want to get that guy in place for sure to mold his team. I don't know where it goes. Look, I will make this, you know, I'll be very transparent. Mike Fuda is a friend of mine. I don't understand why that guy's not in someone's front office. I think he would be an asset to anybody. I think, I think the Sharks, that's a guy that people should be looking at. When you look at what his track record was in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and how influential he was in their drafts and some of the, you know, the players that he brought in. I haven't heard his name mentioned. I think people are missing the boat. He's got a lot to give.
It's been a while since we've heard Mike's name mentioned for GM openings. It's a good point by you, because there was a while there where he was one of those names that was brought up a lot.
Yeah, brought up a lot, and there were some ties to even the Calgary Flames and working in the front office there. We'll see where it goes. Look, I'll be honest, I don't know what his situation was. He was working most recently as a consultant for the Carolina Hurricanes, and I don't know exactly, you know, if that deal is still going. But, you know, I know that if he was offered a GM job or an AGM job again, I'm sure that he'd be allowed to get out of that consulting gig. I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, he whether it was at the OHL level or at the NHL level, he's got an eye for talent. I mean, and, you know, whether it's guys like Giordano, Braden Schenn, Tyler Toffoli, Tanner Pearson, Wayne Simmonds, you know, he's had his footprints on all these guys, fingerprints on all these guys. So I haven't heard his name mentioned with San Jose, but, man, I just think that very smart hockey mind.
Mm-hmm. Get out of here, JD. Appreciate the time, as always, my friend. Enjoy Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, bud. You as well. Have a good night.
Jonathan Davis, he's our NHL Network and NHL Network Radio Insider. He joins us Wednesdays, and he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Barcast Hotline. For every dollar you spend, earn points towards free pizza with their rewards program. Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hour two rolls on. Maybe I'm making a, to steal Rob Kerr's term, maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill.
I knew that was going to be the term.
Well, it's his term. I'm going to give it credit.
Such a Rob Kerr-ism to
absolutely.
A T.
It's a, but it's a great term.
We're making a mountain. Oh, my dad used to say that. Yeah,
well,
let's go.
It's a great one. And I give credit. I'm not smart enough to come up with something like that on my own. But at the risk of making a mountain out of a molehill,
mm-hmm.
and maybe I am, maybe I'm overreacting to this, but I don't like what the Florida Panthers did. I really don't. I don't understand why Andrew Brunette is no longer the head coach of the Florida Panthers. What is he getting punished for? Hello, sir. So we see this. So you won the President's Trophy.
That's great.
Okay,
wow.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Best regular season like in franchise history.
Oh, you took over midway through. That must have had its own handful of challenges.
Our Hall of Fame trajectory head coach, whether or not he makes there with the allegations or not, I don't know. But, you know, one of the winningest coaches of all time, Joel Quenneville, we parted ways with him because of a very stomach-churning sexual involvement in a sexual assault cover-up. Awful situation to walk into. Here's the team. You still win the President's Trophy. We haven't won a playoff series since like the mid-1990s. Thanks for coaching us to a playoff series win. Congratulations on finishing as runner-up to Daryl Sutter in the Jack Adams Trophy voting. So that's really neat. Sorry, you're fired. You're out. We're demoting you at very worst. And we're bringing in Paul Maurice to be the new head coach because reasons. And look, earlier this hour, Jonathan Davis talked about how there seems to be this feeling that Brunette is not the guy to get the most out of this roster. And Frank Saravelli said the same thing when he joined us in hour one of the program. And sure, I guess I can understand. I guess you can justify that. I just feel like that's a really bad beat for Andrew Brunette. Like, what a brutal deck of cards he's just been given. That's a great first year as an interim head coach, and his reward is, here's Paul Maurice. It's Bill Zito's the general manager. He has got a better feel on these things than I do. I fully understand that, but from the outside, from thousands of kilometers away, I didn't really, and again, they got beat, and I know they got swept, but they got beat by the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's not like they got beat by some cupcake team that was on a Cinderella run. This is the Tampa Bay Lightning are a modern day dynasty. I don't understand why Brunette is paying for this with his job.
Well, and I think that there are certain things that when you look at how the Florida Panthers played and how they were able to basically be a record-breaking offensive juggernaut over the course of the season, averaging, you know, 4 goals a game. Like, that's an egregious number for it to be that high over the course of 82 games. And in order to do that, you usually have to give up some things defensively, and that didn't translate necessarily to the postseason as well. They kind of sneaked one out against Washington. You know, I thought that was a series that a lot of people had picked Florida to kind of run roughshod, maybe get a sweep there, 5-game series, but that one ends up being a little bit more challenging for them than a lot of people expected. You get the Tampa Bay series. You start out at home, and the 2 games that they played at home were just not good at all. And then, of course, there was the story that came out between game 3 and 4 of maybe some lack of overnight preparation from the Florida Panthers. That there's just things that kind of started to come out, and you went, I wonder if there's a situation where if it's more of a veteran coach that maybe this doesn't happen. Like he seems to be, from the outside, the ultimate players coach type of guy. And one of those individuals that you like to have in a locker room to offset a hard-nosed head coach. And that would have probably been a Joel Quenneville. So I can kind of talk myself into it, knowing how badly the season ended with the 4-game sweep and all that, but you also look at everything that happened over the course of the regular season, and that was very strong too. Paul Maurice becoming available in the year, does that feed into it? He is the 4th most winningest coach in NHL history as he takes on this new role with the Panthers. So I've got some questions about it for sure. I wonder what the fit's going to be. I'm sure Paul's going to love going from winters in Winnipeg to Winnipeg's in Sunrise, Florida, but a little bit of surprise, maybe not as much as some other people, though.
Like me.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised just because it was very clearly going this way. So it's like based on, I'm just surprised at the decision that Florida made.
Well, you look at the resume and you say he should get another crack.
That's kind of what I feel.
But it does, maybe it's a situation where Florida feels like this window is really not that open. Like it's going to be another year or two where they feel like they really can compete. And then maybe after that, they're going to be in a bit of trouble. Like they've got some solid contracts on that team right now, too. Barkov just signed his new one.
Huberto signed very, very cap-friendly.
For 1 or 2 more years, not too much longer, but then you're going to have to deal with that as well. Like, I think you bring in a guy like Paul Maurice because
Huberto's got 1 year left at 5.9. Reinhardt's got 2 at 6.5. Barkov's 10's just kicking in. They've got Bennett at 4.25, which has been pretty good value for them with what Bennett's brought since the trade. Ekblad at 7.5's nice money. Mackenzie Weegar has got 1 more year at 3.25. He'll probably get a raise. So they've got some decent contracts as of right now. And you're right. You know, with 1 year left of Huberto, how open is that window or how wide is that berth for them to kind of be in that sweet spot?
Because don't get me wrong, you can still win once you sign Jonathan Huberto to a long-term contract, but all of a sudden you have to be so more shrewd with your moves. There's so much more of a thin margin for error on those depth signings that you can't miss on. You can't say, okay, now that we're going to fill out our roster with 3 guys that are right around league minimum, if 2 of those guys end up being great, sure, but that one guy who misses, if you really need him to play, then all of a sudden you're finding yourself in a little bit of a hole. So it's something you can do, but Yeah, I do wonder how Bill Zito would view the kind of championship window for his team.
This is a little bit more on the situation from Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman. This from Wednesday's Jeff Merrick show. It's a long clip, but a lot of good info here from Elliot Friedman.
Bill Zito met with Andrew Burnett this morning and informed him of the decision. Look, I think Burnett is that he's been offered a chance to stay. I don't see it. And I'll tell you this, with Burnett in particular, I could see Chicago. I wonder if Chicago's going to get involved in this one. Now, Burnett, from what I understand now, has had permission to talk to other teams. But the inference I was getting is that some of these other teams, they weren't sure they really believed he was going to be available. And the other thing, too, is I think a lot of them felt if Andrew Burnett had his choice, would he want to go to, say, Chicago or Detroit or Boston, or we want to stay with a team that won the President's Trophy last year? They believe if he had his choice that he would want to stay in Florida. So I'm not sure how many of these teams really believed he was available. Now I think it's different. Obviously, he is going to be available. I think it would be a real surprise if he stayed in Florida. And I really do wonder if the Blackhawks are one of the teams who take a run at him. You know, Burnett, he's got a lot of history and a lot of like around the league, and I think he's going to be wanted. You know, as for the Panthers, look, you know, I had said I wasn't crazy about, you know, the way this all went down. I think their opinion is, look, we had to take the emotion out of this. We had to, like, there were people really emotional at the end of the playoffs about the way they lost. And they also, but there were also people who were saying, we cannot make our full decision in that time. And they felt the right thing for the organization was to just let them breathe for a couple of weeks, let them really think before they made the decision. And with that in mind, they made the decision to hire Paul Maurice. So obviously the situation wasn't ideal. I think there are going to be some hard feelings here involved, but best I can tell from the Panthers, they felt that this was the right decision for the organization and they needed time to make it. And I would be surprised if Burnett stays. And I think he's going to be like, I could see Chicago for sure looking at him and saying, you know what, we're looking at some up and coming coaches or some guys who've been assistants for a while and can be good teachers. I think Burnett certainly fits that profile, and he did a really good job in a really difficult situation in Florida.
That is Elliot Friedman on Wednesday's Jeff Merrick Show. Just, I mean, again, to wrap it up, I'm not going to lose any sleep on it. Andrew Burnett's made lots of good money, all that. I just think it's a bad beat and a weird decision by Florida to move on from a guy who had so much success in his first go around as a head coach.
And it really feels like you won't be out of work for long, but maybe
you just heard Elliot talking about Chicago right there.
Yeah, but maybe it's going to be on a team with more younger players.
Jay Woodcroft and Ken Holland spoke to the media in Edmonton on Wednesday after he gets his 3-year contract. Standing or sitting? He was sitting, I think, because he was at home. So I'm pretty sure he was sitting again.
Oh, it wasn't an actual press conference.
He might have been standing. Yeah, it was a Zoom. Holland was in Edmonton. Woodcroft was, I think, at home. So I don't know. If you're wondering what the hell Matt's talking about, Jay Woodcroft is the only coach in the NHL that I've ever seen that very adamantly stands during his media availabilities, like in all of them. Mm-hmm. Instead of like, there's a table set up and the table gets moved. So not a knock at all. It's just, it's interesting. It's an
observation.
You do your
thing, by all means.
You do you, man. Lots of loves, lots of hellos and how you doings at the news conference. You know,
saying hi to all the reporters. Yeah, obviously.
Everybody. Was very interesting at the end of the media availability, though.
Oh.
This question from the Athletic's Daniel Nugent-Bowman was not about Woodcroft and the job he did as interim head coach. Last question of the media availability had to do with the future of Evander Kane in Edmonton.
Bill Daly said before the start of the Cup final that possible that the Evander Kane grievance might extend past free agency. And I just wonder how that might impact your ability or your way you might go about signing him if it does extend past the start of free agency.
That's a great question. I mean, obviously I don't really have an answer for you because it's sort of uncharted waters. So I'm trying to gather as much information as I can. Obviously Bob Nicholson was at the Board of Governors meetings. I know Bill Daly addressed the Board of Governors. I've had multiple talks with Dan Milstein. Dan was actually in Edmonton for a couple of days here last week with Andrei Kuzmenko, the Russian that made a decision to sign with Vancouver. So we had lots of time also to talk about Evander. So like I said, it's uncharted waters. I don't really have an answer for you because it's not like this situation happens on a regular basis. So I don't really have an answer for you. We're going to try to do the best that we can based on the information that we have. Certainly the hope is to be able to bring Evander back, but obviously there's this situation. Obviously there's the cap. There's the, certainly Evander and his agent, their wants and needs and hopefully everything aligns up that we can bring him back.
That's Ken Holland, Wednesday's news conference on the future of Evander Kane with the Oilers. Knowing all of what goes in to the Evander Kane experience, knowing that there is still a very up-in-the-air grievance between him and the San Jose Sharks that needs to be worked out, I wonder if, I'm just curious if going back to Edmonton isn't the way this whole thing works out. Like, I wonder if the grievance backs a lot of other teams off, and because they know that there was a fit with Kane this year and he performed very well for them, I wonder if just when it's all said and done, if the Oilers are the team that it ends up being. And, you know, look, we know that Kane has some financial things and some financial considerations to figure out. So, you know, he's probably going to be looking for a significant payday is kind of the word that's out there. If I'm the Oilers, I'd be very careful because you've got something good brewing here. And you just came off your first trip to the Western Conference Final in more than 15 years. And I know they got swept by Colorado, all that type of stuff. But what we saw from Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Zach Hyman and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins in the postseason, you know, they go out and solve their goaltending issues. I think they've got a great chance of being a playoff factor once again next season and for years to come. How much, and Evander Kane, look, you know how I feel about his off-ice stuff. You know how I feel about the sexual assault allegations that are out there and all that type of stuff. And again, and I make sure just for legal reasons, alleged sexual assaults and sexual assault allegations that have been out there and that are very easily findable on Google. But he's also a guy that seems to wear out his welcome in every locker room he's ever been in. And Are you willing to go more than a year or two if you're the Oilers with Kane? I think you got to be really careful in that situation. I grant you, he was a very good fit in Edmonton, and maybe there has been a little bit of changing of his approach or whatever the case may be. But are you willing to go more than a year or two for that guy in Edmonton or anywhere? But I'm looking specifically at the Oilers.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure about it. It is one of those things where if you're the Oilers, you like the goal scoring for sure. If you're the Oilers, you also like the way that he protected Connor McDavid. Like, there were situations where someone would breathe on McDavid and Kane would come over and grab him around the collar and make sure that that was not okay. And I think that there's a certain tangible aspect to that as well if you're the Oilers. But this is a guy who comes with, if you're talking about a resume for Andrew Brunette, there's a resume for Evander Kane as well, but it isn't necessarily as glowing. That's why I think that there will be some teams that are perhaps hesitant to give him the long-term deal, and there's also some questions still at hand with the San Jose situation and the grievance and how the arbitrator is going to choose to rule on that particular kind of situation. So there's a lot of risk that goes into anything involved with Evander Kane. I still think that if you're the Oilers, you liked what you saw from him after he joined the team. And obviously you want to have a player like that for everything that he brings on the ice. But I wonder if the money will work and the term will work. And really, above all, if the timing will work.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. And as you just heard from Ken Holland, they want to do it. They're trying. We'll see if it ends up working out. As we start to wrap things up on Hour 2 of Flames Talk, for Aaron and Azam, our producers, for Maddie, I'm Pat. Hour 2 of Flames Talk is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And it's also been the Sports Drive brought to you by South Trail Hyundai. Lease a brand new Elantra or Kona, all-wheel drive with an amazing fuel rating from just $198 bi-weekly. South Trail Hyundai, just east of 52nd on 130th Ave Southeast and online at southtrailhyundai.com.